Iran substitute Friday Premier Leader says U.S. ties not to benefit Islamic Republic. Russian foreign minister points out that Iran must take part in proposed Syria talks. UN chief says we must not lose momentum on Syria conference. Many people are killed, dozens injured in Iraq blasts. And Bahrainis protest against government forces raid on Shiite top cleric house. In the name of God, the compassionate, of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Shitsas. Tehran's substitute Friday prayer leader has criticized a number of presidential hopefuls for promising to reach out to the United States once they win the upcoming poll. Addressing worshippers, Ayatollah Ahmad Janati said, some hopefuls say, we will hold talks with the U.S. and solve the issue of sanctions. But such remarks sound more like a joke and are hilarious. He ruled out direct talks between Tehran and Washington, arguing that such negotiations would not benefit the Islamic Republic because the U.S. government only seeks its own interests. The cleric stated that none of the hopefuls who have signed up for the country's 11th presidential elections meet all the qualifications required under Article 115 of the Iranian Constitution. However, he said, the fact that many hopefuls with different political backgrounds have registered for the polls indicates that elections in Iran are free. Russian foreign minister said Iran must take part in a proposed international conference to try to end Syria's civil war. However, Sergei Lavrov said Western states wanted to limit the participants and possibly predetermine the outcome of the talks.
Iran has repeatedly underlined its solidarity with the Syrian government. Iranian officials pay regular visits to Damascus, so there is no doubt about that. I'd like to stress once again that no geopolitical bias should be an obstacle to Iran taking part in preparing for and holding the conference from the very beginning.
The UN Secretary General has urged countries to continue to focus on the ongoing conflict in Syria. Ban Ki-moon made a remark on Friday during a meeting with Russia Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in the Black Sea resort town of Sochi. Ban called on all parties to prioritize a Syrian peace solution. Referring to the proposed Syria conference, Lavrov added, the sooner this conference is held, the better. Lavrov further said, since the actual makeup of the Syrian delegations had not been set yet, it is too early to name the date of the Geneva meeting. Meanwhile, Lavrov defended Russia's decision to go ahead with contracted arms sales to Syria amid the conflict.
I don't understand why the mass media wants to make a sensation of Russian arms sales to Syria. We haven't hidden that. We supplied Syria with arms per a signed contract, not violating any international agreements, not violating our own laws that pertain to export control, some of the strictest in the world. And we, most importantly, supply an anti-aircraft system, and it doesn't create any imbalance of power in the region or any kind of advantages in the fight against the opposition.
At the same date, the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon also met and conferred with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Their discussions centered on the Middle East, Afghanistan, and the ongoing standoff in the Korean Peninsula. At least 10 people were killed on Friday in an explosion that rocked a village in the Turkish province of Hatay, near the country's border with Syria. The incident occurred in Tanesma village, when suspected smugglers set ablaze an illegal fuel depot located in the basement of a three-story building. The blaze triggered a strong explosion that also wounded three people. According to Hatay governor's office, the suspects were trying to elude a crackdown by security forces that raided their shelter after a tip-off. The Friday blast comes days after twin car bombs that killed 51 people in Hatay's border town of Reyhanlı on Saturday. Damascus-held Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdoğan, responsible for the Reyhanlı bombings, as well as the ongoing unrest in Syria, blaming Turkey for facilitating the flow of arms, explosives, vehicles, militants, and money across the border into the country. Many people are killed and wounded in a bloody day across Iraq. At least 49 people have been killed and many others injured in three terrorist bomb attacks north and south of the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. Two bombs exploded within minutes of each other outside a mosque in the city of Bakupa, north of Baghdad on Friday, as worshippers were leaving the weekly prayers. A total of 43 people were killed and 57 others injured in the explosions. Eight people were also killed after a roadside bomb exploded near a funeral procession in Madain, south of Baghdad. At least 25 others were also wounded near a funeral procession in Madain, south of Baghdad. At least 25 others were also wounded in the attack. The attacks come a day after at least 22 people were killed and dozens injured in bombings in Baghdad and the northern city of Kirkuk. Insurgents affiliated with Al-Qaeda have stepped up their attacks in Iraq over the past weeks, targeting both Sunni and Shia Muslims. Bahrainis have held a protest rally near the capital, Manama, to reaffirm their support for the leader of Shia Muslims, Ayatollah Sheikh Isa Ahmad Qasim. The demonstration was held in the village of Daraz, west of Manama, on Friday, hours after the Bahraini regime forces stormed the cleric's house. Witnesses said the regime forces broke the doors of Sheikh Qasim's house in Daraz and damaged his property. According to Bahrain's main opposition bloc, Al-Wefaq, the cleric was not at home at the time of the raid, but his family members were present. The troops left after searching the house while police helicopters were hovering above for hours. Sheikh Qasim has repeatedly criticized Manama over its violent crackdown on protests. Bahrain has been the scene of anti-regime protests since February 2011. Scores of people have been killed and hundreds more injured in the regime crackdown. Zionist forces clashed with Palestinian demonstrators on Friday, protesting against plans of Tel Aviv regime to expand Zionist settlements in the occupied West Bank. Scores of Palestinians marched toward the Afrat settlement in Bethlehem to express their anger over Zionist regime's expansion project, which would see more land taken away from the Palestinians in the village of Al-Masara. Occupier troops fired tear gas at Palestinian demonstrators. Zionist regime intends to expand illegal settlements in the occupied territories, despite a strong opposition from Palestinians and the international community. Hundreds of Egyptians have gathered at Cairo's iconic Tahrir Square to protest against the government of President Mohamed Morsi and demand snap elections. The angry protesters converged on Friday on the square, which was the focal point of the 2011 uprising against the dictator Hosni Mubarak. The protest rally dubbed Back to Square was called by some political movements and liberal parties. The demonstrators demanded an early presidential election and a unifying constitution for Egypt. Security was reportedly tightened around the presidential palace and near the headquarters of the Muslim Brotherhood. Egypt has witnessed continuing anti-government protests since Morsi took office in June 2012 in landmark elections held following the ouster of Mubarak after 30 years in power.
We have come out to call for the fall of the president in the interests of the country and in order to protect the gains of the revolution. And God willing, we will revive the revolution that they have attacked and which was stolen from us. God willing, we will take it back with the last drop of blood in our bodies and with all of the young people who are here in the square.
We ask the Arab countries and the Arab League to wake up now, at this time in which Morsi is robbing us. And I say to Morsi that you deceptive, sly man, You are deceiving the whole Arab world. Egypt will not be conquered or ever be under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood.
And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Tehran substitute Friday prayer leader says U.S. ties not to benefit Islamic Republic. Russian foreign minister points out that Iran must take part in proposed Syria talks. UN chief says we must not lose momentum on Syria conference. Many people are killed, dozens injured in Iraq blasts. And Bahraini's protest against government forces raid on Shiite top cleric house. At least 13 worshippers have been killed and many others wounded in bombings at two mosques in violence-wrecked northwestern Pakistan. Local security officials said at least 13 people were killed and 45 others injured after bombs hit two mosques during weekly Friday prayers in Malakand district in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province. They added scores of people still remain trapped under rubble after the deadly explosions. The death toll is expected to rise as some of the injured are said to be in critical condition. No person or group has claimed responsibility for the blasts, but suspicion will likely fall on Tehrik-e-Taliban group. The fresh blasts also underline the challenge of militant violence faced by the government of next Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif. Thousands of Pakistanis have lost their lives in bombings and other militant attacks since 2001. Twin bomb explosions have killed at least 9 people and injured dozens in the troubled southern Afghanistan. Afghan security officials said the explosions rocked Afghanistan's southern city of Kandahar within a short interval of time on Friday. The strong explosions targeted a convoy of vehicles carrying Afghan security personnel in the city. Local officials said most of the victims were Afghan civilians. Medical sources predicted that the death toll would rise as some of the 70 injured are reportedly in critical condition. The blast comes a day after over a dozen people were killed in the capital Kabul, where a car bomb ripped through a U.S. military convoy. 6 Americans, including 2 soldiers and 4 contractors, were killed in the attack. Violence in Afghanistan has seen an upsurge over the past few months, with civilians being the main victims. The number of U.S. citizens applying for unemployment benefits has hit the highest level in 6 weeks. U.S. Department of Labor issued a statement saying applications for state unemployment benefits last week increased by 32,000 to a seasonally adjusted 360,000 claims, the highest since late March. The 4-week average for new claims also rose by 1.250. Nearly 6 million Americans are currently receiving jobless benefits. However, the actual figure would have been much higher if state authorities had not stopped extending benefit programs. The U.S. Federal Reserve said the country's industrial production dropped by 0.5% in April. The U.S. economy shrank by 0.1% in the fourth quarter of 2012, casting doubt on the strength of economic recovery in the country. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.